And we had made some observations, because as you make these observations, if they are scriptural, and you can become convinced they are scriptural because you study the scripture, then they become a principle that you can build on. They become some of the rock that you're digging down to. And some of those principles we took from Mark 4 with a few other scriptures around. And some of the distinctions we made were as follows, in case you don't remember 2 days ago. I know. Okay, so we had Mark 4 and the parable of the seeds. And we, let's just quickly go back in that area. Mark 4:13, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable?" And we've read it a few times, and hopefully you've gotten some more out of it each time. How will you understand all the parables? This is a very fundamental teaching. And then he said, "The sower sows the word." And we observed that a sower is someone who sows for their living, as a painter is someone who paints for their living. Now, you and I can probably paint, but that doesn't make us painters. And you and I can probably play, but that doesn't make us players at whatever sport or instrument you're thinking of. Because a player would play for a living, as a sower sows for a living. And one of the highlight areas we were in is Mark 4:26, where it says, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil." In other words, when you start this parable, the beginning of this parable is the sower sows the word. And the parable is about a man sowing the word into soils. Good soils, poor soils, rocky soils. The sower there is Jesus. For a living, his vocation was to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, which needed salvation as its precursor. The prerequisite was born again. And if you had a sower sowing the word, and we'd looked at Luke 6:46 in that context, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the word that I'm saying to you?" The sower sows the word, but the kingdom is like a man, any man, who picks up this vocation and casts seed upon the soil. And there were the categories of soil. We have to use the word categories when certain people are here. And the first category we observed was the devil will steal it as fast as he can. It's beside the road. In other words, these people are not in the way. They're not traveling. The word bounces off of them. "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," Jesus would say. And the second category was people who would take it, like it, spring up around it, shout hallelujah, jump in the meeting, walk out the door, and forget what they would look like to bring James into it, for looking in the mirror and forgetting. And the thing we observed there was the same thing we observed in every one of these places. Between the sowing of the word and things happening, there was sowing and reaping. There was time. And kingdom is time oriented. What time is kingdom filling? It is filling the time between born again and heaven, or the return of Jesus. It is filling the time when you fill and subdue, when you sow and you reap. And there is time when you look at kingdom principle and kingdom activity. You pray, believing you have, and it shall. You speak, believing what you're saying, and you will have what you're saying. And you spring up from the word, and then you're tested. Can you walk on it? Can you produce something for it? And if the storm causes you to crumple, it's because you were temporary. You didn't have enough time that you could hold the word and produce. So it's gone. Or as Jesus says in Luke 6:48, you collapse in the storm when the persecution comes. Why does the persecution come? For the sake of the word. If Satan can't steal it, he will challenge it. These things happen in the beginning of time, at the sowing stage, at the leaf stage, at the stalk stage. And then you have another category where it's starting to grow. It establishes some root, but it doesn't produce for you because you're choked out by watching Don Cherry, by then reading the commentary on what Don Cherry said. And who's upset with Don Cherry? By watching football, or even pseudo-football, it's called the NFL. But you have things that choke out the word. The cares and the pleasures. The cares can choke it, and the pleasures can choke it. And if that's choking it out, then you bring nothing to fruition, to fruitfulness. Why? The word wasn't prominent, active, alive, sharper than a two-edged sword. The word was buried. You couldn't tell the difference from that word to a word being spouted by a guy in Tim's or over the radio or on the TV or in some movie. You know how many people I've heard in the church and other church have quoted some fictional character saying a fictional line in a Hollywood movie as some great moment of truth. I've heard ministers do that. Just like Yoda said. The final, there is no try, only do. Yoda 6:12. Now, the last category was someone who's holding the word. So they're not holding the word and cares. They're not holding the word and pleasures. They're holding the word. They've accepted it. They're holding it. And that's something that we've observed 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I'll just round the corner for you. Be faithful in a little, you'll get faithful in a lot. Or as the way God did it, after he had day one of creation and he saw that it was good and it was so, then he started day two. And day two was his next conquest, his next creation, his next expression of glory. It had nothing to do with 24 hours. There were no clocks at that time. It had nothing to do with sunrise and sunset. There was no sun at that time. But it had the completion of evening and morning. And so when Jesus talks about how you are to cast, a man is to cast seed upon the soil, he goes to bed at night and he gets up by day. He completes daytime and nighttime. Which is to say, he's holding the word as a caster or sower, and he's doing it over time. For the kingdom is about time, the fullness of time, the quickening of time. It's about seed time and harvest. Two different times. But for everything there is a purpose under heaven. The kingdom is here to get you to heaven. So there are times here. Or as Psalm 1 puts it, you're meditating on the word day and night, and it will produce in season. But you will stay green, because the word is foundational in how you receive the word, what category you are, and how you act with the word, a man who casts seed upon the ground. In all those instances, you need time, and you need discipline, and you need to walk as if you're in the kingdom, because the kingdom is established by faith. The kingdom is established on the word. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. So we come to this observation that God will work with whatever you believe. Jesus would put it in a different way. He'd say, according to your faith, be it done unto you. He'll work with whatever you believe. And the second corollary to that, stop believing what you don't want. And Wenzel's trying to tell me, and I'm agreeing with him, one of the ways to stop believing what you don't want is you stop saying what you don't want. If you want to stop fearing something, stop talking fear about it. Do you believe the negative about you? Absolutely, if you're speaking about it. There's going to be a scorching heat wave that will come in the next 3 days. It'll rise to 150 Celsius in your neighborhood. It will burn you if you go outside, because at about 45 to 50, that's scalding temperature for water. And it's coming within 3 days. I guess I'm not getting the panic response I wanted. But that's because you don't believe it. And you're not going to leave here telling people it's going to go to 150 in 3 days. Even if you're a staunch global warming person. You're not going to say that because you don't believe it. What you're talking about is something you give credence to. I'm not talking about a casual observation of something you think is funny or a joke. I'm talking about stuff you say, oh, I heard we're going to have an ice storm tomorrow. You have some credence in that, or you wouldn't bring it up down at the old coffee shop. Gas is going to $4 tomorrow. I don't know if you can believe that one. Would you believe $1.35 a liter? Okay, can I get $1.11? Do I hear $1.11? Do I hear, give me $1.99. Give me $1.99 now. Give me $1.08. Come on, who go $1.08 now? Come on. Now. But at some point you start to give it credence. The thing you don't want. And you start to speak it. Why are you giving it credence? because it's not beneath the kingdom. When the kingdom gets bigger, what does that song say? When everything that surrounds becomes shadows in the light of you. Jesus didn't walk afraid of tomorrow. He didn't walk afraid of today. They were trying to kill him. They would kill him, and he knew it. But he knew they couldn't do it until he laid it down. No man takes my life from me. I do it because the Father has asked me, not because I'm intimidated by the devil. He'd already dealt with the devil way back in the wilderness. And he let him know, you don't run the show. And the devil quit and left. And how did he do it? The devil quoted scripture, and he would say back, it is written. He would sow the word. The word was in him. He had roots. And then he taught them a couple chapters later up on the mountain. And he'd say, you've heard it said, but I say. And they finished by saying, wow, this guy talks with authority. And when the guy came along and said, hey, I got a servant that's in tough shape. Would you heal him? And he said, I'm on the way. And Jesus started out and he said, you don't have to come. In fact, I'm not worthy to have you come. And why wasn't he worthy? He says, I too am a man under authority. What he's saying is, your authority is such that I can't touch it. But I'm under authority, and I understand if you just sow the word, it'll be so. And I got people who respond to my words, but I don't have diseases that answer to me. I don't have life that answers to me. And Jesus said, this guy's got faith. That guy thought he understood authority. What Jesus said, he understands faith. Because what he had in his system was not questions and not worry. What he had in his system was a foundation on authority with your words. And he believed it. He believed what he said was going to happen. When I say go, they go. When I say come, they come. Jesus said he's understood something that no one else has understood about faith. He didn't say it was about authority. Don't sow words in your life that you don't want produced in your life. Bill Winston said, and I agree with him, although whether he's right or not, I don't know. I can still agree with him. But he said, you are the sum of everything you've been saying for the last 10 years. I agree with him too. And if you don't learn to turn your tongue, James says, if your tongue is not going the right way, your ship's not going the right way. The tongue is like the rudder of a ship. What you say is turning your life. That's why Romans 10:10 says, with the heart you believe and are justified, and with the mouth you confess, you speak what you believe unto. Confession is saying, I believe I'm guilty, I believe I'm innocent. That's a confession. We always think of it as I'm guilty. But you can confess. That's what they actually teach you to do in sports. Confess you're going to win this game. Don't go out of the locker room saying, well, man, we're going to get beat in the fourth quarter again. Do you know what? Bo Levi Mitchell, at halftime, went into the locker room and said, well, I'm going to just be lousy this half. I'm going to throw five passes right into the dirt at the feet of the guy who's supposed to catch him. Then I'm going to throw three interceptions. Then I'm going to throw a knockdown on a third and ten. I'm going to give 4 turnovers to the other team, and I'm going to go out in disgrace. And everybody in the locker room said, okay, if that's the way you want it, we're going to do it. No, he wasn't taught to talk that way, and he doesn't talk that way. He was trying to sow something else. He didn't know any Christians that were on the Blommers team. But what I'm saying is, when you walk out in that kingdom, you have to learn to walk in the territory you need to survive and prosper. You don't have to go out believing you're the best radio physicist in Manitoba. But you may have to believe you're a completely adequate mechanic, or a carpenter, or a farmer, or a teacher, or a health worker, or a stamp collector. And you're perfectly adequate to get the job done, and the Lord's going to look after you, and he's going to prosper you. Can you believe that? If you can believe it, why can't you say it? For with the heart, you are justifying that position, and with the mouth, you'll have what you're saying. I hear people sometimes on a down day, in an off moment after decades, say, I don't think I'm doing so good. Actually, people who aren't born again, I hear them say that constantly, and I keep telling them, why do you say that about yourself? I say, well, that's just how I feel. Talk about ignorance gone to seed, right? That's just how I feel. And is that what you want? Well, no, of course not. Why are you saying it? Because that's how I feel. You can't ignore the laws of the spirit of life and expect to get life. You can't ignore the kingdom principles and expect kingdom to be there for you. Jesus told you how to believe and how to talk and how to sow and how to reap. He told you how the kingdom works. He told you every time, in the kingdom area, you believe now and it's coming. What you believe and speak now is being created, or being, if I want to put it in his exact words, produced 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. It is being produced. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I believe it, I just haven't gotten around to it. Well, I believe it, but I was busy. I believe it, but I was so tied up with other things that were crushing weights in my life. Paul says, throw off every weight and run the race. That were things that were finally, I had to enjoy myself. You don't have to quit believing when you start enjoying. When you get some territory under your feet, you don't give up that territory to claim the next acre. You need to believe that my discipline in my words and what I believe are going to make me the head and not the tail. That seeking the kingdom will put me over, not just be an exercise of good witness Christianity, it will put me over. It will deliver me, it will prosper me, it will protect me, it will deliver into my mouth authority. And nobody will gainsay my authority, because when I speak in the name of Jesus, and there is no name above it. There is no authority above it. There is no disease, condition, social, economic, financial, cultural. There is no place that will defy the Lord Jesus and come out on top. The question is, are you in the kingdom? Now, see, Karen was telling me all about this. was it the Amaleks or something like that? She was giving me this, she did this study on how to get picked off as a straggler. And it's very interesting. I didn't see it. I didn't look at it before, particularly. But the more she studied it, what did you say the Amaleks stood for? What? The spirit of blindness? Okay. So seeing they were not seeing. And they drift away from the kingdom. Now we've got a church that's kind of like that in North America. We love the Lord Jesus. We love the presence. We love to praise and worship. But we don't know a thing about the kingdom. And we walk away from the kingdom on a whim or a feeling. Or whether somebody offended me or something. And then we get picked off. Or we walk away because we had too much to do that's fun. I go to Mexico for 2 months every year. And now I'm really doing well. Well, I know people go to Mexico every year for 2 months, and you got to pick up all the pieces later. Why? They're not getting the kingdom. But I expect people who will seek the kingdom, not be experts, seek the kingdom, will start to come into the things and the blessings of God. They will start to come into kingdom level blessings. In other words, things that they want or need are being added to them. Well, why don't I see them? They're being added to you. Do you ever go down to the bank and say, what's my $1,000 done for the last month? And they say, well, we're adding to you 1.25% per annum divided by 12. And you get that at the end of the month. You say, whoopee, now I'm feeling good. But at least you're getting somewhere. Oh, it's a phone call. Who am I to phone me at this time? Later. That person owes me a phone call too. Now, I said that to say this. On Sunday, the Lord began to make me aware that we have moved. I don't know where we have moved. I would often say I think I'm about 18% into understanding some of the things of the kingdom. I feel personally I've jumped up into the low 20s. There's probably only 75, 76% that I have no clue about so far. But we've been talking about it and we've been focusing on it. And if you want to improve the quality of your thinking, you start to think about that thing. In other words, you meditate on it day and night. And we've been on this for about 8 or 9 months, I think. Maybe longer. Wenzel was on it for several years. Now, when we start to look at that, I had a sense on Sunday that there was another move forward for this part of the kingdom. You'll go into some churches, they got no part of the kingdom. They wouldn't know the kingdom any more than they know the Holy Spirit. You go into some churches, they have no clue about the Holy Spirit. I hope that doesn't make the tape. But you go into some churches, they don't even know what born again is. But Jesus said all that was important, but the kingdom is what he came about. And as we start to gain in the kingdom, and I had a sense on Sunday that we made a move up the ladder. That it was maybe not just the blade anymore, but there was a little bit of stock. And some things in the spirit were being established. I expect more of the manifestations of the spirit where the kingdom is, because it is given to profit with all. In other words, it's given to the kingdom. I expect more of the manifestations of the spirit in the three areas. The three areas are your spirit gains authority over snakes and scorpions and all the power of the devil. And for your body, nothing shall harm you. That 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, it does not come to you. You may see it. It'll be all around you. But you will walk through the fire. Remember I read you that headline from the Christian who was captured by ISIS and burned alive 3 times? He said, they burned me, but I would not burn. They put 5 gallons of gas on him one time and lit the match, but he would not burn. Where did I see that? That was on Fox News. That was just some reporter going through the land and he picked this up. It wasn't a Christian report. Well, there's Christians in Fox News, but that was on Fox News. The other guys don't put that kind on because they don't want ISIS to look bad, I don't think. But these kind of things are happening. We have as much right to it here as anybody else does. We have a right to be kingdom people and to have kingdom benefits. And the body benefit, spirit, soul, and body, the body benefit is protection and deliverance from the weapon, from the flood, from the fire. There was deliverance in the first judgment, the flood. The last judgment is fire. The elements will melt, Peter said. He'd never heard of a nuclear interchange, but he said the elements will melt. At 1,000,000 Celsius, which takes an atomic bomb to produce, you can get a hydrogen bomb. And the amount of power that is put into the creation between two little atoms, two basic fundamental atoms of hydrogen, can completely destroy. Well, it basically gives you a mile-wide crater if you drop a hydrogen bomb in. Can you walk through that? Yeah, if you're in the kingdom, because we've got a kingdom that can't be shaken. At what level can it not be shaken? Well, at this point, I think it's at a higher level than it was a month ago. There's a transition happening. There are people who want the kingdom as well as they want their salvation. You know how many Christians want their salvation, and then they run after the world seeking to save themselves in the world with the world's ways? And they're despairing over the calamity and the lack, because the third thing is provision. The kingdom carries the provision. Seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added to you. Can we get people to where they actually will believe that rather than believe the woe is me and I'm going broke? All right. Will it happen then? It is happening right now to the kingdom. I believe that. I believe people are getting involved with it, and I believe it's starting to produce. Now, there is sowing and reaping in that area, but the first area of sowing, the first teaching on sowing, is the sower sows the word. Yes, you give and it shall be given unto you. Yes, you sow money into the kingdom. Jesus told the rich man to do that. Yes, but the church has been busy preaching sowing the money in without getting them in the kingdom. And I think it's time that they have the kingdom so that you have the manifestations of the Spirit to profit with all. So that you have the provision of authority over demonic and unruly spirits, including the discerning of spirits for those who are designing spirits. No one will gainsay you. No tongue will accuse you without being condemned. You know, that's an inheritance of the servant of the Lord. You don't serve in salvation. You serve in the kingdom. There's going to be protection. And there's going to be provision. And if that provision has to be one fish feeding 5,000, then it's going to be one fish feeding 5,000. It's already been done. And there'll be greater works than that. And if it has to be that you're going to go out in the backyard and put a little stick in the ground, and up from the ground comes a bubbling crud. And then all you got to do is keep gathering barrels. And you gather the barrels and you fill them up with oil. Could that happen? It's already happened. Could you just go out and say it's time to harvest and you throw the net on the other side of the boat and you had nothing all night on this side of the boat and now you got the whole year's catch? There's 8,000 people working in the freshwater fishery on the prairies. Another 300 in the processing plants, southern Manitoba. Can they suddenly prosper? What does it take to bring the prosperity in? It takes a kingdom. That's really what it takes. The kingdom was told. The nation was told. You will be the head and not the tail. You'll be the lender and not the borrower. You'll be over and not under. And we're busy trying to figure out how much can we borrow? How big a deficit can they run to keep us going? We're supposed to be the lender, not the borrower. The kingdom can be the lender while the rest of the country's borrowing. Okay, well, let's get to the scripture I wanted to get to tonight. Robert is skeptical. I wanted to clean that up a little bit. I want you to continue to see the time. Matthew 24:42 says, "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming." You see, when you're in the kingdom, time is turning over. Seed time and harvest. Things that you are taking, places you are walking, things where you are putting your foot down to gain territory, spiritual territory. For spirit, soul, or body, it's spiritual territory. To gain your provision, to gain your protection. Luke 18, the widow kept going and saying, "I want my protection." And she was going to get it. And to gain your provision. I'm seeking kingdom. I expect things to be added to me. And they are coming. How do you know they're coming? Because I just said it. The kingdom is released because I cast that word into the spirit, into the soil. And the soil produces the crop by itself. I don't know how. I just go to bed. And I get up. And on Sunday, I could see the blade start to turn to stalk. There's going to be a harvest. But we're going to be green till we get there. And we're going to increase. The increase of His government is without end. Are we part of it? Yes. Matthew 25. In 24:47, he said, "Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, 'My master is not coming for a long time,' I'm going to manage the time." Jesus is saying there's going to be time. And then he says, you have the right attitude in that time. 25. Then the kingdom of heaven. Remember that when Matthew talks about the kingdom of God, he says kingdom of heaven. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Mark always says kingdom of God. Is there a big difference? I'm not so sure. Except Matthew always said kingdom of heaven and Mark always said kingdom of God. I call it kingdom of God. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent." Do you know how many parables about the kingdom? In other words, about the people who are His. They're born again. They can see it. They can hear it. They're allowed to enter it. And some do and some don't. And if you want to divide it just equally, and there's no reason to divide it equally, but let's do it for argument's sake, then 3/4 of them aren't producing any kingdom results. Because they're category 1, category 2, or category 3. And only one is category 4. Hear the word, accept it, and produce 30, 60, 100. If you're not producing anything, if you're a one-talent schmuck, produce one talent or at least some interest on it. Get something going in the discipline of the kingdom. Five of them are foolish, five are prudent. I think they were all born again. I think they're all saved, going to be in heaven. But some are collapsing on the face of the earth, and great is the collapse. And some are prospering because they hear the word and accept it. And in that area there is production. In that area there is kingdom, and there is a walk that receives and acknowledges and obeys the word instead of ignoring it for the me gospel or the self. And the self has two problems. One, arrogance and pride. I deserve better. I'm entitled to better. And the other option is I'm afraid, and I'm hiding that in the ground. Why would you be afraid of something? I'm afraid if I turn the other cheek, Jesus can't bless me. People are going to beat me up. I'm afraid if I don't look after myself, God won't do it. I'm afraid if I don't run from the terror, God can't defend me. And so I stop obeying because I'm afraid. I don't believe the word. Five of them are foolish, five are prudent, for when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil and flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, is that a time thing? They all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." They have no root. Their spirit is cluttered. But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." That this is basically saying, you can't get somebody else saved. They're going to make that decision. And by the way, when they're saved, they're going to make the decision on whether they're going to be kingdom or not kingdom. They're going to make the decision. And some are thinking, well, I'm saved and I know Jesus and I know his presence and I love him, but I just can't go into that kingdom side. They're foolish. They're saying God isn't really running a kingdom. The fool in his heart says there's no God. Not in the kingdom. Maybe in heaven. Maybe I'll get to heaven. God is everywhere that he's within you. He's in your midst. The kingdom is in your midst. I think it's a type of the Holy Spirit. If you're weak in the Spirit and you're weak in the Holy Spirit, then you're not ready. You see, you're not trimmed up. You don't have a light. The lamp, remember between Mark 4, where he's talking about the parable of the seeds, and Mark 4, where he's talking about the farmer who now becomes the caster of the seed on the ground. The other way, it was Jesus putting the seed out. And in between, he's saying, you don't do this to hide it. You don't buy the lamp to hide it. What he's saying there is, you took this seed and this word, which is the foundation of the kingdom, in order to have it produce 30, 60, and 100-fold, and to show that the nations will come to you and say, who is your God? They're trimmed up. Now, there's a delay before the king comes or the bridegroom comes. But you're not supposed to be not burning, not displaying, you're supposed to be the light of the world. You're supposed to be the salt of the earth, and you're supposed to prosper. You're not supposed to be short. We got no oil. How come? Well, because God's not my provider. How come? Because I didn't seek the kingdom. Is that what Jesus says? He says, seek the kingdom, I'll provide for you. Right? Seek first the kingdom, all these things. But at midnight there was a shout, behold, come, meet. And then the fool said to the prudent, give us some. And they said, but the prudent, no, there will not be enough for us. And you too, go instead to the dealers. Buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, while they were trying to catch up, while they're trying to get into that kingdom that can't be shaken, the door is slammed shut. Do you think after 6 hours of rain, some of them started to believe when Noah said it's going to rain, and they said never seen rain before, after 6 hours? When it's ankle deep, do you think some of them are starting to say, gee, I wish that door wasn't shut? Do you think after 3 days of rain, when it was waist deep, they were starting to say, I think I might have made a little wrong turn here. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. That's a Noah statement. When he comes back again, it's the quick and the dead. Or as Paul says, it's appointed once unto man to die, and thereafter the judgment. You're going to have a certain amount of time. Time is where you do kingdom. The kingdom is related to time. This kingdom parable, then the kingdom of heaven, is like these 10 virgins. This isn't a salvation parable. It's a kingdom parable. And it is about the time that you're not active or working. Yes, sir. Oh, like the Worldwide Church of God? They actually said we've been too heavy on the prophetic side, and they became basically mainstream evangelical, the Worldwide Church of God. Now, some of them wouldn't go with Garner Ted Armstrong or Herbert W. Armstrong, and they kept all the old ways that I think they were sincere, and when they realized that they had ignored too much of the gospel, they became what are mainstream evangelical type. Whether or not they're charismatic, I don't know, but they began to see the rest of the gospel. Well, there is more than one judgment. The first one was water, wasn't it? That was a judgment on the whole earth. And Peter says the next judgment is fire. So there's more than one. To the earth. But for you, it's appointed once for you to die, and thereafter the judgment. So that's the people that will be judged, as opposed to the earth being judged. But there's more than one judgment around. Yeah. You're right. You're always right. Mike said you're always right. Mike. Truly I say to you, I do not know you, he answered. I don't know you. I don't know how you operate. Because you weren't there. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. How you mark the time and how you produce from it is important. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. The one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. He's not asking you to be more than you are. He's asking you to be in the kingdom. And he went on his journey. You see, the kingdom operates by the Spirit. The kingdom operates by faith. The kingdom operates by those authorities he's given for you to exercise and for the faith you are to walk in. But what's interesting here, immediately there was no wasted time. The one who had received the 5 talents went out and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. He was doing kingdom things. He was doing it for his master. He was doing it for the structure that he was in. But what's interesting here is he gained 5 more talents. He made a living out of it. The sower sows the word. The trader trades the talent. In the same manner, the one who had received two talents gained two more. But he who received the one talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. He had an attitude towards the kingdom that wasn't really, didn't matter. My master's going to look after me. I just got to get my theology to where I can ignore him. Or I can refuse his instruction or his word. Now, after a long time, the master of these slaves came. There was time. It's a kingdom parable. And settled accounts with them. The one who had received the five talents came and brought five more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted five talents to me. See, I have gained five more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. One of the ways you're going to demonstrate your faith is how you operate in the kingdom. Are you going to trade? You don't even know what the kingdom is. It's hard to do that. But as you start to gain an understanding, you start to gain an understanding of the Lord Jesus, not just as a Savior, but as a King. Master, you entrusted five talents to me. See, I have gained five more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. That's where you start to walk. A few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. That's a kingdom joy. Also, the one who had received the two talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted two talents to me. I'm only 40% as good as the other guy, but I gained two more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You remember the parable about the guys coming into the kingdom at the very last hour? What'd they get? Exactly the same wages. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And then one also who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you're a hard man. You're reaping where you did not sow. Stop believing this kind of stuff. And gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid. See? Aren't I a good Christian? I confessed I'm afraid. No, you're a failing Christian. That's not a confession for a Christian. Well, I am afraid. How do you know you're afraid? That's how I feel. Oh, okay, so now you're going to confess your feelings instead of the word. Clever. Well, I'm entitled to my feelings. You certainly are. You're actually entitled to hell. You can have it anytime you want it. And you ignore the kingdom and the instruction of the king. Not good. Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed, and I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. There. I've justified myself. But the master answered and said to him, you wicked, that's unbelieving, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I gathered no seed. Then you ought to put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received it back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. If you read that in the other Gospels, he says in one of them, by your own words, I'm going to judge you. And that's also in Matthew, but it's chapter 12. By your words, by the things coming out of your mouth, it better be kingdom building or someone not happy. But it's so easy to be kingdom building. You can be a 40% guy. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Take away the one from the poorest guy. Because the reason he's the poorest guy is because he turned his back on the kingdom. In the world, we say, I'm the poorest, so everybody has to give me something. In the kingdom, he says, you're the poorest, you're going to lose it. It's going to the richest. Man, that would turn certain political structures on their head, wouldn't it? But politics of greed and envy don't occur in the kingdom. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, and that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Did he lose his salvation? This is a kingdom parable. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. This is kingdom territory. There's one kingdom that can't be shaken. All the others will be gathered before him. And he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he'll put the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Because I was hungry, you gave me something. This is how you get started in kingdom. I was hungry, you gave me something. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was stranger, you invited me in. Naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry? We didn't know we were doing it for you. We just thought we were doing it for our brother because we love one another as you loved us. He said, no, you were doing it for me. You were doing it for me. 9:00. Can't say anything more.